Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. My name is Doug Wortham, and I have the honor to sit in for your host, Tom Lyons, who is spending some much-deserved time off with his lovely bride. On today's show, we'll have a discussion with a Gold Star mother, meet the new Minnesota National Guard Command Senior Enlisted Leader, and get an update from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. But first, let us take a moment to remember a Minnesota soldier. Connor J. McGurran, a native of Owatonna, Minnesota, joined the Minnesota National Guard and was attending basic training at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. During a recent training exercise, Private McGurran was found unresponsive and was later declared deceased. Our thoughts are with his family during this difficult time. He will be missed, but not forgotten. Joining me in the studio now is Daylin Means. Daylin, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Doug. Thanks so much for having me here.
Well, it's an honor to have you in our studio. And we have a very difficult topic to talk about today. And you are, in fact, a Gold Star mother. And you lost your son, Dale, while in Afghanistan. And I'd like to just talk to you a little bit about Dale. Can you tell me about him, what he was like as a child, and kind of him growing up?
Oh, absolutely. My son was a gearhead. If it had a motor in it, he was all about it. He enjoyed snowmobiling, four-wheeling, his truck, the love of his life, his high school sweetheart, Andrea Lehman. And yes, so he enjoyed life to its fullest. He was the friend that had everybody's back.
Yeah, it's said I'm reading some of his bio, and you know, he's got a kind heart. And you know, we were discussing, of course, before the show a little bit about Dale and all of the things that seemed to be just such a giving person. So tell us about just some of those things that as a person he was just, you know, I'm there for you. I'm the friend that is always going to have your back.
Well, you know, one particular moment stands out in my mind when they were on their flight to Germany, to Afghanistan. One of his member Marines was sitting next to him in the airplane, and he was absolutely terrified and physically shaking. And he said to Dale, he said, "Man, I'm really scared." And my son reached over and put his hand on him and said, "You know what? Everything's going to be okay. You're going to be fine." And the reason I know this is because when we were in North Carolina at our at the military funeral, this young man made it a point to come up to me and tell me that. So, and it's just little things like that that fill a mom's heart. I know that my son was doing the right thing when he made his decision to go into the military.
Yeah, so I understand that, you know, he joined the Marine Corps in 2011. And while in Afghanistan in 2012 is when his vehicle was struck by the IED. Tell us about him joining the Marine Corps, because I understand that you actually gave him pretty specific instructions to join the Air Force or maybe the Navy. So let's talk about that.
I did. He said to me, "Mom, what do you think about me joining the military?" And I said, "You know, Dale, that's fine, long as you join the Air Force or the Navy." I said, "I don't want you joining the Marines or the Army." I said, "Too many of them get killed." And he said, "Mom, that doesn't happen so much anymore." Dale's grandfather is a retired Army. And I told him, I said, "You know what? It really does happen more than what you're aware of. You're just not in tune to it right now." So I left for a week and I came home only to find out he joined the Marines instead. So there you go. And I said to him, as I'm talking to him in the garage, and I said, Dale, why do you want to join the military? And he said, Mom, I just want to do something that's going to make a difference in this world.
Yeah, what a great reason. And, you know, obviously this was all after 9/11, and we found many of our service members wanting to join the military after 9/11, just, you know, for that pride in our country and to give back. So Dale, obviously, although very young, made a huge impact. And, you know, as a Gold Star mother, talk to us a little bit about, you know, he leaves for Afghanistan. I mean, what, not knowing what was going to happen yet, but what are your thoughts? All right, he joined the Marines, which you didn't want him to do. And now he's going to leave. He's going to get deployed. He's done his training and he's deploying. How was that conversation? What are you thinking as a mother at that point?
Well, I was terrified. When he came home, before he left, we spent, every moment I could with him. You know, I remember going out to the 4th of July fireworks out in Belle Plaine. And as we're sitting there on the blanket and we're watching the fireworks go off and the music's playing, and I reached over and I asked him, I said, can I just hold your hand? And he just looked at me and he said, Mom, everything's going to be okay. And he just put his hand out and I just sat and just held his hand the rest of the night. It's a terrifying feeling to think that your child might not come home.
Right. We're speaking with Dale Lynn Means. Her son, Dale, was killed in Afghanistan while serving in the Marine Corps. Dale Lynn, you told me the story about Dale being in the vehicle the day that that vehicle struck that roadside bomb. And he wasn't supposed to be in that vehicle, but he was. What's the story behind that?
Well, it wasn't his day to go out. The young man that was supposed to go out was hurt the night before working out in the gym. So that morning, the commanding officer came in and said, Means, you need to go out. And so out he goes, and it wasn't his turn to be up into the turret either. However, my son won many awards for his marksmanship. And the other young man here from Minnesota up in Wake Park told him, look, Dale, it's not your turn to be up in the turret. It's my turn. And Dale said, but you know what? If anything goes down, I'm a better shot than you are, so it's okay. And so back and forth we went, and finally my son prevailed, and he was up in the turret. And while they were out on their mission, they ran over an IED bomb. I'm told by his commanding officer that that was the largest bomb that they had experienced up until that point. They thought maybe it was a $5,000 or 5,000-pound bomb.
Yeah, what a horrible experience. And, you know, obviously that news has to come home. And I have to imagine that day in November, when you get the knock on the door or you have that visit from those Marines, you know, that feeling that you have, I think it's important to, you know, share with our audience a little bit about what that's like. How did that process take place for you the day that you were notified?
Well, it's right before Thanksgiving, and I was actually just coming home from the grocery store with my turkey and all the other Thanksgiving fixings. I lived in an apartment, and I walked through the door. In the hallway, I have three Marines standing at the door. And I looked at them, and I said, hey, what's going on? And I could feel my heart start to pound because I just knew what was going to come out of their mouth. And he said, are you Lance Corporal Dale Means' mom? And I said, yes, I am. And he began to read his script that we were, regretfully have to inform you that your son was killed. And I just leaned against the wall and just went to the floor and just sobbed hysterically. After regaining my composure, you know, I had them come in and sit down, and I just sat and cried at the table. I told them, I don't know what to do next. And they said, you don't need to do anything. We're going to do everything to take care of you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about more of that process. And then we want to talk about, you know, the good that can come out of something tragic and what you've taken on as a life mission in order to honor Dale. So we'll be right back on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. Joining me in the studio is Daylin Means, and we've been having a conversation about her being a Gold Star mother and her son, Dale. But first, we'd like to hear a message from the Adjutant General. So here is Generally Speaking.
According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, an estimated 10,874 people were killed in traffic crashes involving a driver with a blood alcohol content of 0.08 or greater in 2017. The Minnesota National Guard relies on the health and fitness of its soldiers and airmen to achieve success. That's why it's important to have a plan in place if you decide to drink alcohol. Rideshare apps like Uber and Lyft are an efficient and affordable way to avoid having to drive while impaired. If that doesn't work for you, be sure to have a sober driver on call to take you home. And if all else fails, be prepared to sleep on a couch or floor. That's a better alternative than spending the night in jail. If you have to ask yourself if you're okay to drive, you already know the answer. Please don't drink and drive.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I mentioned, we've been speaking with Dale Lynn Means, and her son Dale was killed while serving in Afghanistan as a Marine. Before we went to break, Daylin, we were talking about the notification process and how hard that is. One of the things that I think our listening audience really needs to know about is how do they treat you when they find out that you've lost your son, a fantastic son, he served our country. How should they address you or talk to you knowing that you're a Gold Star mother and you've experienced this horrible loss?
Well, they treated myself and my family with the utmost respect. I couldn't have asked for anything better, all the way to taking care of funeral arrangements, our transportation to and from everywhere, out at the airport, making sure that, you know, we get on the airplane first. We have a little private room ahead of time. I just couldn't have asked for anything better. They kept in contact with us constantly. And it was, you know, of course, an issue waiting for when he was going to be shipped back home. So that took some time, but, you know, they kept in contact with us all the time because, of course, we needed to make the funeral arrangements. And again, we were just treated with the utmost respect.
I think that is one good thing that our military does, of course, is they do take care of our families when they have a loss like this. And to those in the public, people you run into when they find out that you're a Gold Star mother, you know, you're not shy about talking about Dale. So is it okay for people to ask you, hey, tell me about Dale. What was he like?
Oh, I love it. You know, you never, ever want to forget a child or anybody that's passed away. And the more you talk about them, the more they're still in your lives. At Christmas time, I buy some sort of little truck or little car, and I put two the grandkids from Uncle Dale. So you do everything that you possibly can to keep him alive in your life.
Yeah, that's great. And I understand that you're doing something else that is really going to help to keep Dale alive in your life and inside the community of New Prague. And so can you tell us a little bit about the memorial that you've been working on and really why it came to light and how far along you are with it?
Well, When someone passes away and people send you memorial money, my daughter-in-law and my daughter and I decided that we would hold on to that money for a year and sit down at the table and decide what veterans organizations we're going to divide the money up to. So as we're sitting at the table doing that, my daughter said to me, "How about we build a veterans memorial wall?" And I looked at her and I said, "That's it. That's what we're going to do." And we never looked back. That was 7 years ago, and we have just forged forward. When I said earlier, when I asked Dale, "Why do you want to join the military?" when he responded, "I just want to do something that makes a difference in this world," this is going to be it right here. He might not be making a difference in the whole world, but he's going to be making a difference for all those veterans that are going to be honored on this Veterans Memorial Wall in New Prague that we're going to build.
So we're speaking with Dale Lynn Means, who's a Gold Star mother. And so you're working on this memorial, and obviously it's not cheap. So how much money have you raised so far, and really what's your target? And maybe if you can talk about like that projected break in the ground date and, you know, when you'd like to see that happen.
Absolutely. We've been raising fundraising now for 3 years, and we're about $350,000, just shy of that. And we're hoping to raise $400,000. So we don't have that much further to go. But for us, it kind of seems like it's eternity. But our target date is to break ground next fall. New Prague is doing some road construction, so we're not sure if we'll be able to do this in the fall or the following spring, but we're hoping for next fall that we'll break ground.
And the memorial, although the inspiration is from your son, the memorial isn't just for Dale. This is for service members inside that New Prague area, surrounding areas, but then you also have a section of it that you want to open up to more than just the surrounding area. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. This memorial is for everybody. This is for any veteran, any area, any place that you're from. We have, in lieu of paver stones, and rather than having their names walked on, we decided that we would build pillars. That way you can see their names anytime and they're not covered up by snow or debris. So on the pillars, the cost is $250 to be on that. And you could honor your uncle from California if you wanted. The honor wall, which will consist of those killed in action, missing in action, or killed in the line of duty. There's no charge to be on that, of course, because they've already paid the ultimate sacrifice. To qualify to be on that, the veteran or the family needs to reside within a 20-mile radius of New Prague.
Okay. And you have a big fundraiser coming up, and we're asking our listening audience, of course, to help us raise the funds so we can get you that $400,000. And it's called Music Fest 3, a fundraiser supporting the New Prague Veterans Memorial. And that's going to be on February 22nd. You've got opening ceremony starting at 12:45. Tickets are $10 in advance, so relatively inexpensive, $15 at the door, and you've got a bunch of bands showing up, and just it looks like a bunch of great exercises or entertainment type of things going on for the day, so it's going to be a great event. I'm assuming you're going to be there.
And, absolutely.
And so if people want to go to that, obviously we want them to, but they can also make a donation, and all of the information can be found on NPVeteransMemorial.com/donate. So that's New Prague VeteransMemorial.com. We'll put a link to that, of course, in the show so people can go there and make their donation, get more information about Music Fest, because, of course, we'd like for them to attend, and we want to get that other $50,000 so that we can get you to reach your goal.
Yes, it's a great day. We have silent auction. We have gambling going on and all kinds of fun bands. It goes until 10 o'clock at night, and it's just really a lot of fun. You can follow us on Facebook as well.
Okay.
And you can donate via Facebook on PayPal.
Perfect. That's awesome. And there's one more thing we should mention, too. And there is a Lance Corporal Dale W. Means scholarship program that the Marine Corps League, the Two Eagles Detachment, has put together, and they're awarding up to five $1,000 scholarships, And of course, there's some eligibility requirements. And if there is a nexus to the Marine Corps, chances are you're eligible to apply for these scholarships. And I think that's just a great scholarship or a great way to remember your son and honor his name in those scholarships.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. It's a great organization. And for the last 3 years, they've invited our family there to meet the person that they are donating the money to the scholarship. So it's just really been a lot of fun. And we just really appreciate what they've done for our family and the recipients.
Yeah, well, it's been wonderful to speak with you. I'm, you know, very, very sorry for the loss that you've experienced. The memorial you're going to put together as soon as you can break ground, I'm looking forward to seeing that when it's complete. It's going to be a great way to honor not only Dale, but all of our service members. I want to say thank you so much for coming to the studio today. And thank you for your sacrifice and for your son's sacrifice.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I do want to say that we wouldn't be able to make this happen without the other committee members that are from New Prague. We have several. We have six other members from the American Legion and the VFW. And this all wouldn't be happening without the gracious donations from the community. So we really appreciate everybody's effort in making this happen for our veterans.
All right. Thank you so much. That is Dale Lynn Means talking about her son Dale and his sacrifice to our country. We'll be right back on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, filling in for Tom Lyons, who's on that much-deserved break. It's time now for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Landlords hold the key to helping Minnesota reach the goal of housing every homeless veteran. We pay tribute to the landlords and property owners who are putting an end to the veterans' homelessness in Minnesota. We are looking for more landlords, especially in the Hennepin and Ramsey counties, who are willing to stand up and put the keys in the hands of our heroes. Specifically needed are one-bedroom and efficiency apartments. If you're a landlord who is interested in giving our heroes a second chance, please visit MinnesotaVeteran.org. Housing homeless veterans is only possible through the willingness of landlords now and in the future to open their doors to Minnesota veterans and to bring them all the way home. Call 1-888-LINK-VET to join the movement.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So joining me in the studio for the very first time is the new Minnesota National Guard Command Senior Enlisted Leader, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. Sergeant Major, welcome to the studio.
Hey, thanks, Doug.
So how does it feel?
Feels interesting, especially sitting here looking at the previous Command Senior Enlisted Leader.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you in the studio. And, you know, this is an important segment that we do, you know, on one hand to introduce you to the listening audience about who this new Command Senior Enlisted Leader is. And then, of course, throughout your tenure, for you to have that opportunity to, you know, share some insights, what's going on within the Minnesota National Guard. And so we're looking forward to having you on as a regular guest, at least monthly, to continue to tell that story.
Oh, I appreciate it. Look forward to it.
But, you know, we want to get people to get to know who you are. So you've been serving for a long time, but where did it all begin?
So yes, I guess it has been a long time. It feels like a short time, but, I guess 36 years ago, I decided to join the Army, and it was just based on wanting to go to Germany. Back then, the internet really wasn't a thing, and Germany sounded like a pretty cool place to go. So the Army was the conduit that allowed me to serve my country, get a little cash for college, and get to see another country on another continent. And so back in 1985, I joined the Army. I started out as an air defender, so as a 16 Sierra, which is man pads or man portable air defense, shoulder fired weapon system. We fired the Stinger missile, still in the inventory today. But I started out as an air defender, was able to go to Germany, did my 2 years, came back, and enrolled in college, went to the University of North Dakota. And that was it. I never intended to stay for a long time, just a fun time. And it's 35 years later, I'm still serving and still having a great time.
So how many total years was that on active duty?
So I did a relatively short stint. It was 2 years. And then I enlisted in the North Dakota National Guard, as they had a pretty decent program at the time. They paid a percentage of my tuition and a percentage of my student loans. So it wasn't a horrible – it's not like the soldiers have it today.
So you spend some time on active duty. You go to Germany. You get to see that part of the world. You come back, go to school. You're in the North Dakota National Guard. What brought you over to Minnesota to be in the Minnesota Guard?
So back in the 90s, our biggest export in North Dakota was people and probably wheat. Now it's probably oil, but there weren't a lot of job opportunities back in the 90s. My degree was in aviation. I came to the Twin Cities not to pursue that, but just to pursue some civilian job opportunities, and moved here back in 1992 after I had graduated college, and I continued drilling in North Dakota, in Grand Forks, North Dakota, for another 4 years approximately. So I do know the pains of having to drive 6-7 hours to go to drill one way, and battling all the great weather that occurs on I-94 in the wintertime.
So we're speaking with Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, the new Minnesota National Guard Command Senior Enlisted Leader. So you're in the Minnesota Guard. What other assignments have you had inside of the Minnesota Guard? Where's it taking you? Because, you know, looking at your bio, of course, I know that you spent some time out in D.C. and then for some crazy reason, you decided to come back to take on this new role. But you were living in Hawaii at the time. So kind of walk us through that transition.
Yeah, we can go in reverse chronological order, I guess. So my immediate previous assignment to coming here and taking your position, I was the senior enlisted advisor for the National Guard out in the United States Army Pacific. So in PACOM, or the Pacific Command, stationed at Fort Shafter out in Honolulu, Hawaii. And that was supposed to be a 2 to 3 year assignment. We kind of truncated it and came back when everyone wants to, come back to Minnesota December 1st, right in between a couple snowstorms. So I was out there for approximately 15 months, and immediately previous to that, I was the Warrior Transition Brigade Command Sergeant Major at Walter Reed in Bethesda, Maryland, for approximately another 15 months, which was a very rewarding and challenging experience. And then before that, I was the Army National Guard G3 Sergeant Major for 3 years out in Arlington, Virginia.
Yeah, so this experience, you know, from Hawaii, obviously out in D.C. and in between, a pretty good addition to your resume. And how do you feel as though that sets you up for what your new role is?
A good question. So it's given me a very good national, international perspective. And I did serve in the Minnesota National Guard too. So, I mean, the last position I served was as the 9-4 Cav Squadron Command Sergeant Major up in Duluth, Minnesota. So my experience over the last 6 years has given me a very good national, international kind of perspective. And my experience before that, I'd had 3 deployments within the state of Minnesota, over to Iraq and Kuwait. But that's also given me a pretty decent local and state perspective. So it's just kind of broadened me in that sense.
So when you joined the active Army way back when, did you ever think then that someday you would be in the Minnesota Guard as the command senior enlisted leader? I mean, the most senior enlisted position inside of the Minnesota Guard.
No. No. Again, my intent back in, 1984, when I first enlisted, was to serve 2 years, maybe do a couple years in the Guard, get through college, and then, you know, just see what life held for me. But like I said, you know, when I joined, it was for a fun time and not a long time. It just turned out to be a long time.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we want to talk a little bit more about what your new role entails when we come back from the break. But everybody stay with us. We're talking to Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. Joining me in the studio is Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. It's, again, great to have you in the studio. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about your history, joining the active Army, spending some time in Germany, and eventually moving from the North Dakota National Guard into the Minnesota National Guard. You've had a lot of great assignments along the way. What's that one thing that has really stuck out in your career?
Oh, I think it's the reason that you continue to serve, and it's those that the junior soldiers that we serve for, and just the spirit, the spirit of the soldier, and you know how they always want to do better and compete, and you know, kind of move the ball forward, make it better than what they had for the one following them. So it's always been. I think that's one of the biggest reasons why I continue to serve, so that I can help, you know, kind of get the organization on the azimuth that, you know, sets us going forward for that next generation of soldiers coming up.
Yeah, you know, and we've talked about this many times on the show before, and that is that, you know, as a service member, often we say we've got the easy job. It's that family behind us that's given us that support that, you know, really is the one sacrificing. So I know that you're married. You've been married for many years. How's that support been, and what does she think about this new assignment?
Well, if you ask my wife, she'd say it's many, many years, but she's excited. My wife's a flight attendant for Delta, so she was very excited to be coming back to Minnesota. Even as weird as that might sound, she was excited to move back here from Hawaii and kind of be close to family, friends, you know, back into the state that, you know, we've lived the majority of our life. So majority of our married life as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously she's been there with you, and Kara's done great things and been there to support you. And so it's good to have that support element, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, she was there at my third deployment. So she ended up moving into the house and going through all those trials and tribulations with the house in Minnesota over a year. And, you know, she's been awesome. So absolutely steadfast.
That's great. So on a personal level, what do you like to do when you're not wearing the uniform? You know, what are those things that keep you kind of busy when you're not having to do what you're doing on a daily basis inside the Minnesota National Guard?
Oddly enough, my wife and I really enjoy traveling. You know, even though you'd think she'd probably be sick of it and I'd probably be sick of it. We've traveled to give or take 50 different countries so far as a couple, not counting my trips to the Middle East and, you know, some of her trips over to Europe. But we've traveled as a couple to 50 different countries. And, you know, that's one of the things I guess we pursue. And when I have the opportunity to take leave is travel. And even in the United States, one of the things that we've mixed up a bit, it might sound odd, but we go out of our way when we go into a new state to find the oldest bar in that state. And it takes you on some roads untraveled that you might not have gone to otherwise. And you get to see some cool parts of the country that you might not have seen otherwise.
Yeah. And of course it does help that she has that perk, so you're not having to pay an exorbitant amount of money to do a lot of the traveling.
Well, there is that too.
let's get back into the business. You were selected for the position to serve as the command senior enlisted leader for the Minnesota National Guard back in August. There's a little bit of delay before you could get here because of your assignment in Hawaii. But now that you're here, you're on ground, you've hit the ground running. What has been kind of that initial challenge of getting back into Minnesota and getting started in this new role?
So the organization that I've come into, you know, that you were a part of as a traditional soldier, you see a certain side of it. As a full-time member, you get to see a different side. And I think not like negatively, but the management of individuals and their careers is kind of the part, even if I'm not, you know, one of their direct supervisors, it's just that I oversee some of the process involved in managing soldiers' careers. And, you know, the full-time staff for the Minnesota National Guard, I think, is around 800 individuals, give or take, you know, whatever the math is on a given day. So that's a pretty big a number to be managing. You know, not all are enlisted, obviously, but, you know, we sit there and we try to do the best that we can for the soldiers and their families and their careers. And, you know, that was the part, I guess, that I didn't really envision as much being involved with, not just out of ignorance, I guess.
Right. So we're speaking with Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. And, you know, as the previous senior enlisted leader inside the Minnesota Guard, I mean, I know the importance of supporting your boss. And your boss is the adjutant general. He's not the first general that you've worked for, but nonetheless, he's a general, and he's got priorities that have been set for the organization. So can you tell us, how is it that you are going to be able to best support those things, you know, for the adjutant general? Because you got to be that extension of him.
You know, another good question. So one of the things I've learned watching others and, you know, position similar or, you know, comparable to this, is that you can't have everything be a priority. So of the priorities that the organization has, I'm just going to kind of focus on certain aspects that I think I can affect, you know, in the shorter term, or that we need to maybe put additional attention to. As an example, the Army is coming out with a new fitness test, so the Army Combat Fitness Test, and we're shifting from an event or a three event test that's been done forever, and us going to this new event is more like doing a CrossFit workout, you know, a workout of the day, and there's some unease in the force because it's just new and we haven't done it before. And so I think the biggest thing that we need to do as leaders is just make sure that, you know, our soldiers are comfortable with what's coming up, and it's not going to be, you know, that traumatic of an event, that it is doable. You know, there are some challenges with it, but, you know, we'll work through those. And I think so as a senior enlisted leader, that's one of the things that I'll be focusing on. Another thing is, starting again next year, interestingly enough, we also have a new individual weapons qualification tables that are coming out. And, you know, just making sure that our organization is prepared for that. So there are a couple pretty big challenges, big muscle movements that are coming. You know, for the Guard, considering we only have 39 days, we're looking at possibly consuming 5.5 of those to do two events.
I have to imagine that when you have your senior enlisted conference, which I understand is coming up, or it will be taking place here this weekend, this will be one of the many, many topics that you're going to discuss as you kind of lay out your vision and how you're going to best support the organization. So we're just about out of time. We've got about 30 seconds left here. And I just want to, you know, give you that final word. And, you know, when we have somebody out there that's saying, hey, I want to join the military, what do you say to that person if they're thinking about it?
Go Guard.
Perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say, you know what? It's been one of the best opportunities I've had in my life. I've been fairly successful in the civilian sector, and I've been fairly successful in the military. You can have both. And I would say absolutely, if you're interested, you know, there's a recruiter or a veteran or, you know, somebody that would love to talk to you about the options and the opportunities. And the Minnesota National Guard is a great way to start your adult life.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate you coming to the studio, and we look forward to spending more time with you over the months and years to have years ahead as you continue on with your tenure. We appreciate you being here, and thanks again for joining us, Command Sergeant Major Soper. Now joining us on Minnesota Military Radio is Tim Leonhardt from the Patriot Guard. Tim, how are you, and welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
I am doing awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
My motorcycle's park, which gives us we call it PMS, Park Motorcycle Syndrome.
Yeah, well, it's probably a little bit safer to have it parked right now.
Well, it is.
So
it is. Two wheels and ice do not mix.
No, they absolutely don't. So, you know, we've had this snow, and of course it is wintertime, unless, you know, someone's been buried on a rock or something like that. But so what are you doing when it's weather like this? What is the Patriot Guard doing, you know, when you can't get out on that bike?
Yeah, we still, you know, it's not really all about the bikes. It's about just the honor, dignity, and respect for our fallen heroes. And we get around in our cages, our cars, and we just kind of get ready. What happens in the winter, though, is a lot of people think that because we're on motorcycles most of the time, that we're always on motorcycles, and they tend to not invite us to, you know, funeral missions and things like that because they don't think we'll show up because we're not on our motorcycles. Well, we will get there, whether we do car, truck, bus, train, and like Tom says, even if he comes in on a parachute.
So it doesn't matter if there's an event that wants to have the Patriot Guard participate.
Yep.
You'll be there. You'll drive there. The important thing is to have someone there with that flag supporting whatever the particular event is.
Yes. Yeah, because we want to show our soldiers, you know, that honor, dignity, and respect, no matter what.
Right. Okay. So
blizzard, hot, you know, wet. We're there.
You're going to be there.
We'll be there.
Yeah. So, are you looking for people to support the Patriot Guard still?
Oh yes, always. We're always open for new people to step up and join us, and just, you know, we've got our calendars out on MNPatriotGuard.org, and go out there and see what's happening. If you don't want to join right away, just show up for one of the missions and see what it's all about. And if you like it, which I'm sure you will, then just go to our webpage on the left side, says join us, and put your name and your information in there, and we'll start sending you updates of what's happening in your area.
All right. So I don't have a motorcycle, but I'm still welcome to come. And are there other things that I could do or other things that our listening audience could do to help support the Patriot Guard and the mission?
Most of it, we're all self-sufficient. We all take care of ourselves. So we really don't look for anything other than the opportunity to stand a flag line for a fallen hero or even a deployment or a welcome home. You know, we just want to make sure that our military knows that the American people have honor, dignity, respect for what they do.
Honor, dignity, and respect. That's your mission. That's what you want to do.
Yep, it is.
All right, perfect. Well, I really appreciate the opportunity for you, spend this time with us again. It's always great to get an update and have that constant reminder to, you know, all of our listening audience that the Patriot Guard is there. You want to support. Hey, grab a flag, come in and support it. And no matter what the weather, as you stated, you're going to be there, aren't you?
We'll be there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, Tim, thanks so much for calling in, and we look forward to talking to you again next month.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
Bye.
We're just about out of time. If you are a Minnesota veteran and would like to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Daylin Means, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, Tim Leonhardt, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week when we meet the new director at the St. Cloud VA and hear the story of a recently returned Minnesota soldier lost during the Korean War. That's coming up next week on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, and I hope that you think great and make an impact this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.